You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I figured it out, Jake.
ESPN Radio. We are on the ESPN app. If you have a phone in your pocket, you got us with you wherever you go. You can listen to us live on the app.
I figured it out, Jay.
What's up?
What, kid?
You know that? The Broncos play the Colts tonight, right?
Uh-huh.
Once the game is over, Russ can come and scoop you up.
Okay.
Y'all can fly to London to see the Giants.
Yeah, or going west to east.
And what would they do while they were in London?
Take a stroll through, you know.
Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham.
And go with the tour.
Check it out.
To the royalty there.
Yeah, I'm game with that. G450, pick me up, bros.
G450. So we're presented by Progressive Insurance. What's up? Nothing wrong with Russell Wilson.
Russ,
he tweeted about the Queen upon her passing.
Yeah.
It affected
He's
him
concerned.
Emotionally. I mean, like,
he
you know,
concerned.
It affected
like,
him emotionally. Man, stop.
Well, I'm just saying, why would you tweet that? Like, in other words, Lennox Lewis, former heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox and I were broadcast partners for a while, been all over the world with Lennox, right? Lennox, when the Queen passed, he had met her. He won a gold medal, at, you know, as a Brit, the whole thing. He, you know, wrote some nice things. Clearly, he had interpersonal, like, experience with her, and it meant something to him. And as a, you know, and he wrote something
nothing,
that was real.
But we nothing, don't, but we don't
you
know,
think, you don't know if he's ever
if Russell
her.
Yeah, and maybe. Her hung out in Virginia. We don't know that.
That's possible. The
or
question.
Seattle.
Key? You're
or
right.
Seattle.
I remember that trip she made to Virginia.
Maybe when he signed with the Broncos, maybe she gave him a handwritten note. We don't know.
So now we're making fun of somebody that just says, you know, rest in peace.
No, I'm that's just what, I'm saying.
That's,
I remember,
that's what we're doing now. That's how low this show is going,
I
Max
remember,
Kellerman.
I think the Queen made a stop in Virginia. She was in Norfolk, Virginia, I think, something, at Pernell Whitaker's birthplace or something
see,
like that. I
that's
don't know.
What I'm talking about. Relentless.
That's where they must
no
have met.
No one is making fun. Max, move on.
He can't help
so
himself.
The Indianapolis Colts are at the Denver Broncos tonight on Thursday Night Football. The Broncos are favored by a field goal. They're at home. Basically, the odds makers are telling you, man, these teams are about even. I think the line moved to 3.5, right? Jay started at 3, moved to 3.5.
I think it was at 3.5. I think it's back. Oh,
got bet
down
to
3.
Ooh, people.
Oh, a lot of juice is coming in for who?
For the Colts. People like 3.5 on the road. Boy, that's not a good look for us because Matt Ryan hadn't looked good.
Matt Ryan played okay last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he did all right. He had a couple turnovers. He played okay. He wasn't the world, you know, beater or anything like that. Maybe he's figuring it out. Who knows? They're 1-2-1, okay? And they've been in games. They just haven't been able to figure out how to win those games.
Guys, let's just assume for the sake of argument that the Queen's passing is behind him. How does Russell Wilson jumpstart the Broncos offense? That's what I want to know.
Digging a deeper and deeper grave for yourself every time.
Hey, don't say that because someone
that just naturally happened. Oh, my.
Listen, you're going to upset Russell Wilson. So how does he jumpstart this Broncos offense, Key?
I think he just got to continue to just keep hacking at it. Look, early payoff bets right now doesn't look good for the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson on what they invested in Russell. They didn't expect to be sitting at 2-2 with an offense that's kind of clunking along. And I understand that everybody wants to use the well, Nathaniel Hackett is a new head coach, so he's having some issues, or he has a new offensive coordinator. But that doesn't matter. There's a lot of new head coaches in this league that are doing well. There's a lot of new offensive coordinators in this league that's doing well. You just go right up to Buffalo and you take a look at Ken Dorsey, who was a new offensive coordinator that I had reservations about calling up plays, but he certainly has done a good job in the 4-game sample size that he's been in. Russell Wilson is not the same player that he once was. He's not nearly the guy on the scrambling stuff, the things that he did in the past. It's a little bit different now. You could tell based on that, and maybe that comes back to him. Maybe he gets his legs underneath him. I just look at it and I say to myself, when I had a conversation with Mark Slareth and Stink on our show, during the offseason when the conversation was about Aaron Rodgers, one of the things that Mark Slareth, who, by the way, is dialed in, former Super Bowl champion Broncos, radio show in Denver, lives in Denver, understands the Broncos, talks to people in the building, says even if they got Aaron Rodgers at the time, this was not a playoff team. You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the thought that this defense was going to be better under under new defensive coordinator, because it was kind of like yeasted up and boosted up because of Vic Fangio's reputation. But the defense was okay. The defense was not lights out a year ago. And so you insert Russell Wilson, we're going to have high-flying attack with Jerry Jeudy in Sutton and Patrick, and we're going to run the ball. We're going to get that 2,000 yards total on the offensive side rushing. No, it hasn't happened. They struggle in the red zone. They get down there, and they can't punch it in and figure it out. So I don't know what this score is going to look like. I know that the over-under is something like 42, I believe it is. I think it could potentially be higher, but that won't be because of Denver. I think it'll be because of the Indianapolis Colts.
I'm going to take the under, and I'm going to take Denver to cover. And I think tonight's going to be a statement opportunity for Denver's defense. Now, I know Randy Gregory not playing, but – when you think about guys like Bradley Chubb, Draymond Jones, it's their opportunity, because Matt Ryan has been harassed. Like, so far in four games, he's thrown five passing touchdowns, five interceptions, and has been sacked a whopping 15 times. 15 times. So that O-line allows penetration. They need to insert and start, like, really hurting him, right? They're trying to get him out of his comfort zone, make him make plays. But I'm not as worried. I feel like the offense – like, for still having his learning curve, I don't feel as if everybody's going to make it a big deal because it's Russell Wilson and can he come and hit the ground running right away? I mean, he scored 23 points last game. I mean, it's like he scored two touchdowns. He had one rushing TD. It's more about the defense that is a concern for me about the Broncos.
I like the Broncos to cover, too. Here's the bottom line. As I mentioned it earlier in the show, one dude was traded for a gang of picks, including multiple first rounders, and given a top of the market or a top-ish of the market type of contract. Now, whether or not he's still what he once was or worth it is a separate conversation, but that's how the marketplace valued him. And even though the market could be irrational at times, it is in the team's best interest to look at things soberly. And that what that indicates is the Broncos weren't the only party interested. There were probably multiple parties interested. Matt Ryan went for a third-round pick. There's a reason for that. I think there's a big advantage. However he slipped, Key, I think there's a big advantage at quarterback for the Broncos.
Matt Ryan had some bad years in the end in Atlanta. He's not the same Matt Ryan as when he came into the league, Max. So his value is not going to be where it would have been 7 years ago.
Sure.
No, there's no question. He's older. He's got more tread on his wear and tear on his body than Russell Wilson. It's a totally different situation. It's not apples to apples.
No question. But what I'm saying is now they're matching up, and I think there's a real advantage at quarterback for the Broncos. Whatever you want to say about Fangio defense and this and that and who's healthy and who's not, both quarterbacks are playing.
I think it's an even Steven at quarterback in this game. As long as they can protect Matt Ryan, he'll be fine.
Big F, Key.
Well, the same thing for Russell, though. They got to be able to protect him. They got to be able to protect him,
but
like all quarterbacks.
Less so with Russell because he's mobile.
Yeah.
But that's always been the case, though, Max.
Yeah.
When the last time you seen Matt Ryan outrun somebody?
Right. But that's but Key, it's like when you can do more things, you will age better than a dude who can do fewer things, right?
Yes. Look at me and you.
But see, I don't think the Colts have a pass rush. I mean, only three teams have fewer sacks than the Colts. The Colts and their pass rush, right? So we talk a lot about Denver protecting Russ, and I'm like, well, where's the pass rush for the Colts? Yeah. With the exception of Kwity Paye, right? Like, so.
Yeah, but when your offensive line ain't protecting you, though, Jay, if they're not protecting Russell, it doesn't matter. But me and you can go out there and get to the quarterback if they're not going to protect him,
up. But that's what I'm talking about, Key. And the numbers are the facts, right? They're right there in front of you about how the O-line for Indianapolis has not protected Matt Ryan. And that's why I think there's
Matt's O-line has struggled a little bit at times, but some of that has to do with holding the ball too long. Some of it has to do with coverage downfield because the receivers might not be separating. I think the game will be better than what we probably are anticipating just based on the records and where these teams are right now. And it usually turns out that way too, because Denver's a hype place to play. The crowd will make it look a certain way, you know.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You know what that sound means? It can only mean one thing.
The NFL Draft.
Kuiper Jr., ESPN NFL Draft expert, joins us. Brought to you by Eckrich Smoked Sausage. Find them in the refrigerated meat aisle of your favorite grocery store to create one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you. Good morning, Mel.
I got news for the world, guys. The 2023 NFL Draft begins when I come on with Key, J. Will, and Max. That's when it begins.
Oh,
okay.
let's
just get that straight. It begins today.
Mel Kiper Jr. putting the battery right in my back. Mel, we're through 5 weeks of the college football season. How have your opinions on the top quarterbacks that will be entering the 2023 draft changed?
Not a lot, really. I think C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Bryce Young, those are your big three. Anthony Richardson's got some work to do, but the talent is in abundance. Okay, he's still raw, so we'll see how his year goes. Tyler Van Dyke's had those struggles at Miami. How will he bounce back from being benched? Now he's still the starter with the Hurricanes. And then you had to transfer Cam Ward from Washington State, remember, from Incarnate Word. Now at Washington State, Jaren Hall, BYU, Hendon Hooker, Tennessee. A lot of guys to work through, but there is right now the big three established at the top of the board in Stroud, Levis, and Young.
Mel, you mentioned Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. I fell in love with him just watching him play against Florida. And prior to that, I had a chance to take a couple little snippets at him, a few quarters. What is it that will intrigue the National Football League about him?
He can spin it, Key, and that's the thing. The offense, I think, is tailored to the quarterback. Josh Heupel's done a great job, no question about that. Cedric Tillman, a little injured right now, has been an outstanding receiver for him. But he looks so confident in that offense, and they've tailored to him, and they've made him great in that offense, considering what he had been before he got there. So I think these 2 years at Tennessee have made him a guy that people have to look at, and obviously the All-Star game is going to be important to see how he handles all that. He's in that next tier, and it's right after those top three. That next tier is still really not defined yet. So he has an opportunity the rest of the way. He's got some huge games on the horizon. This is an outstanding football team, and he's going to be on center stage a lot and be evaluated a lot. But when you can spin it like he can, you can move like he can, Hendon Hooker is going to draw a lot of interest, and I think there are a lot of eyes on him moving through this draft process.
Mel, as I look at these quarterbacks that have come out in the NFL over the last couple of years, on the smaller side, not the 6'4", back-of-the-hair guys that drop their back foot and let it rip. You're talking about smaller statue guys. Kyler Murray comes to mind. You know, Baker Mayfield, smaller, a little thicker. When you start to look at this, how does this play into the way that Bryce Young is going to be looked at now, given that right now these guys aren't having the success that most people thought they would have?
Okay, it's a great question because, you know, you say small or are you just short? Remember, Russell Wilson was 5'10 and three quarters, but he was a strong, compact 5'10 and three quarters. Same thing with Kyler Murray. Bryce Young has a different body type. And what's he going to be? We don't know. Is he going to be 5'11, 5'11 and a half? He's listed at 6 foot. Is he going to be 175, 180, 190? We don't know. But the bottom line is he doesn't have that stature of the guys who were just short but weren't small. So Bryce is a different kind of quarterback from that standpoint. But at money time, he's huge. And what he's done as the point guard distributing that football and the way he plays the game, you got to appreciate that. Right now, he's pretty high up on my board. I'm going to have a new board coming out in a couple of weeks. I just did one about a week and a half ago. Actually, a couple of weeks ago on the 22nd of September, he was at number 6. I had Will Levis from Kentucky at 4. C.J. Stroud at 2. So it's still, they're all right there. It's at that three-horse race, but they're all outstanding quarterbacks. Levis is the guy in an NFL offense at Kentucky. Has had some rough moments with the turnovers. I get that, you know, but he's at Kentucky. The offensive line has not helped him much. He has to work hard for what he does there, and that's in the NFL. It doesn't come easy. It comes easy for pitch and catch quarterbacks. It doesn't come easy at Kentucky, and that's going to help Will Levis transition quick into the NFL. So he's the kind of guy, I would say, if I had a bet on who's going to be the number one pick in the 2023 NFL draft right now, guys, I would bet on Will Levis from Kentucky.
Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN senior NFL draft analyst, and my guy joining us here on Keyshawn J. Will and Max. Mel, when you look at quarterbacks, obviously, you know, we talk about Tua,
his size. You talk about smaller quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Bryce Young in that conversation. Considering what we've seen happen to Tua over the past couple of weeks, do you think there's any concern that teams are starting to get a little bit scared about smaller quarterbacks and stuff around concussions and just their smaller frames overall in general?
It's something they'll think about. I don't think it really is something with Tua that you could say, well, the smaller quarterbacks, there's that concern. They're protected so much in the NFL if they handle themselves. It was just unfortunate what happened. I mean, those things are going to happen to quarterbacks. Joe Burrow spoke about that the other day. So it's just unfortunately part of the game, as they say. They have done everything they can possibly to help with the low hit, the high hit, any hit on a quarterback. Some are protected. Josh Allen's not protected basically at all. And then he gets the rough and the pass right by in Baltimore. Screaming that it was a horrible call once on it cost the Ravens. But the bottom line is the bigger, stronger Lamar Jackson's not protected as much. The guys that can run, the big, strong guys like Josh that can move like he can, they're not protected as much. The smaller guys maybe are protected a little more. I don't know. All quarterbacks are protected as much as possible. They want these nothing's worse than an NFL game without the starting quarterback. It's unwatchable. So they want these quarterbacks upright, doing their job at a high level from the start of the year until the Super Bowl. And they'll do everything they can to make that happen. So I don't think the size of the quarterbacks now, in fact, we don't even talk about size much. Now, with Bryce, it's going to be discussed a little more because he doesn't have that Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray frame. But in terms of worrying about injury, guys, I don't think that's a big factor.
Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN senior NFL draft analyst, with us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, or you might be listening to us on the ESPN app. Take us with you wherever you go. Listen live. Hey, has Will Anderson lived up to the billing of the top guy on your big board so far, Mel?
Well, on the big board, yes, because he's such a great kid and he produces. Now, you know, you talk about, is he? Yeah, Myles Garrett, who could bend that edge like no other, bend that corner. I mean, he could get around there like the speed skaters. I mean, it was amazing what he could do and what he can do and what he's doing. When you think about, you know, what Von Miller does, that's a separate group where Will Anderson's not that incredibly explosive pass rusher like they are, but they're special for a reason. They're in that, like I said, that elite group that very few are ever going to touch. But he's number one on the board. Will he be the number one pick? Pass rushers and quarterbacks are going to go, guys. And, you know, if he's there and then you have to, if the team needs a quarterback, they're going to take C.J. Stroud or Will Levis or Bryce Young. We know that. But if you have your quarterback and there's not a trade possibility, you don't want to lose a Will Anderson if he is evaluated as that elite player by the time we get to late April, keep the pick and you take him. So that's the position of great need, and everybody wants it, and he's right there, and he's a great kid, and he'll make everybody around him better as he does, and he'll make your team better. He'll finish games. He'll close out games. He won't do it to the level necessarily of Miles and Von Miller, but like I say, very few, if any, will do that to that level. So I'll say right now it's between him and those quarterbacks to ultimately be the number one pick overall.
Mel, I'm out here doing your job for you and taking notes and taking
always
things and looking at some stuff. And I noticed a kid who is about 6'1", about 187 pounds, probably runs based on just looking at me. I haven't put a clock on him, mm-hmm. but he's probably a sub-4.3 guy, catches everything in his catch radius. He wears the number 3. He goes to the University of Southern California. He is amazing, quick start guy, stop mm-hmm. on a dime, give some change. By far, in my estimate opinion, and we've had some great ones, and Marquise Lee and Robert Woods and Dwayne Jarrett and Drake London and all of them, the best one since that last number 3 wore that to come out. Where do you have Jordan Addison rank that right now?
He's at number 10 on the big board, number 1 receiver. He has been since September 22nd. He's got the same grade as the 7th guy on the board, which is Bijan Robinson, running back, Texas. So I think he's going to be a top 5 to 10 pick, maybe top 4 to 6 pick possibly. People say, well, look at his side. Well, you look at Devontae Smith. We're not worried. That's Marvin Harrison came out. I think you're looking at a kid who at Pitt had, 100 catches for Kenny Pickett? He helped Kenny Pickett be that pick that he was in the first round. He averaged, 16 yards a catch with 17 touchdowns. Look what he's doing at USC this year through 5 games. He's a spectacular. He's from Maryland kid, from Frederick, Maryland. So, you know, Jordan Addison, though, he's doing it at two programs. Now, he's had Kenny Pickett. He's got Caleb Williams. Yeah, you go from Pitt where he had, you know, Mark Whipple coordinating that offense, okay? And now he's got, you know, Lincoln Riley. So he's been in two systems that were favorable for the quarterback and the receiver. But that his skill set, the production, the consistency, he's the number. And the other receivers, guys, have not really lit up. Jackson Smith and Jigbo Hyatt-Spate's been banged up. Keyshawn Booty has been, you know, struggling. Quentin Johnson hasn't put up the big numbers at TCU. Yeah, so a lot of the receivers that you thought were going to be super productive this year and lighten it up have not. So he's been the one star that we expected to be really good that has been dynamic in the early going.
No, he certainly has. He advertised well and has done everything that you thought that he would do coming over from Pitt. Who else outside of Jordan Addison, who's the headline prospect out of USC, what other guys that are draft eligible could potentially go in this year's draft?
From USC, K?
Yes.
Yeah, Tuli Tulipolotu, the defensive lineman, the versatility he provides is going to be very intriguing to the NFL, the way they move him around, the way he can get after the quarterback. He's been a guy who's been really showing up in the backfield a lot. Mekhi Blackman, the cornerback, certainly is going to get a lot of play. And on the offensive side, Andrew Voorhees on the line. And Travis Dye, the former Oregon running back, what he's able to do running the football. But I think when you look at Tulipolotu would be the guy I'd keep an eye on up front. And like I said, on the back end with the cover skills of Blackman, you would keep an eye on him. But there's no question Addison is the guy. When you talk about the top 10, top 5 overall, the first receiver off the board, that's going to be Jordan Addison. Mm.
And that's going to be Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN senior NFL draft analyst, but really needs no introduction or labeling. Thank you, Mel, as always. And what did you say to start this segment? You said that when you're on this show, what does that mean?
That signals the start of that 2023 National Football League draft.
It's like the groundhog saw his shadow. You know what I mean? Here we go. Thank you, Mel.
Right, 1 o'clock, guys. Enjoyed it, man. See
you. As always.
Man, when you hear that chime, you just get goosebumps.
Oh, yeah, man. And Mel, too. By the way, Mel's one of those iconic voices where you hear it, you're like, it puts you right, boom, right in that frame of mind. Guys, can Teddy Bridgewater keep the Dolphins afloat, like basically the same? Or at least tread water in Tua's absence?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're now on ESPNU. We are on the ESPN app. It is time for On the Plus Side. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, here we go. Key, Rutgers, plus, well, go ahead. What, oh, you tell me your pick.
I was going college football. That's why I was listening to my music in the college bar. I'm taking Rutgers, man. Plus three underdog. I think they got Nebraska. They got Nebraska this week. But I feel like, you know, they ran up against Ohio State. They lose to Ohio State. It's Ohio damn State. And then when you talk about Nebraska beating Indiana, everybody all of a sudden act like Nebraska's program is back to the Tom Osborne days. I like what Greg Schiano has done in Rutgers so far. I'm taking Rutgers plus +3.
All right, let's do it on the plus side. Best underdog bet of the weekend, in my opinion. Man, the fact that the Cowboys are 5.5-point dogs versus the Rams blows my mind. I mean, did we just not see the Rams and Matthew Stafford get sacked seven times? And by the way, who has one of the best defenses or maybe the best in the NFL as it relates to the pass rush? I'm going with the Cowboys. I think Cooper Rush wins this game offensively, but I think, once again, because of the defense is the staple for the Cowboys. I think they cover easily.
So you said sack seven times, Jay? That's not even the number.
How about seven?
Getting hit 17?
Another 17 one. Times he was
He's
hit.
Been hit 17 times?
On top, no, you're right about the sacks.
Oh, but yeah.
I'm just saying,
he's saying that's even
and
more
he's
significant.
Hit,
more,
yeah. Pressured yeah. Another 17.
Whether or not you record the sack, that hit occurred,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yes,
Rutgers
and it hurts.
Plus +3 home versus Nebraska. That's key. We're on the plus side. Cowboys plus +5.5 at home at the Rams. That's Jay. I am taking the Jets plus +5.5 at home versus the Dolphins.
I don't believe you.
I'm taking the Jets. I think the Jets are playing. Listen, they're feeling good. They just beat Pittsburgh. And I don't think – I know what you told me, Key. I don't think Bridgewater is the same as Tua. I think there's going to be a drop-off. I think the Jets are feeling good about themselves. And listen to what Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst extraordinaire and two-time Super Bowl champion, told us. Now, of course, he won his championships with the Patriots, got the money with the Jets. I mean, that's how it goes. But – this is what he told us earlier today.
What needs to happen is what you did in the fourth quarter, which was phenomenal. He was terrific. Now you got to consistently do that right from jump. Don't wait until chaos and then start playing your butt off. I need to see that right from the beginning, because for three quarters in that Pittsburgh game, he didn't look good at all. Then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, the switch turned on, and he looked like one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And so if you can get that consistency right from the beginning with the weapons the Jets have on offense, man, this thing could look really good for them.
I've been told I said plus +5.5 Jets. I thought I said 3.5. It is plus +3.5 at home versus the Dolphins. So, Key, what do you think about what D. Wood had to say about the Jets?
I do. I believe it. I believe that Joe Douglas has done a tremendous job of accumulating a bunch of a wealth of young talent. There's no question about it. Breece Hall. When you look at what he did there, right? Mekhi Becton. Obviously, that's a whole other story. But he picked up a nice piece in Tucker, Elijah Vera Tucker. You got to go all through the whole list of names there, huh? And when you talk about that, right? Garrett Wilson. It's just, and Quinnen Williams is starting to play like he was supposed to play coming out of Alabama. I just have a little bit reserved still about the quarterback and the coaching, okay? It's week to week now. As Stephen A. would say on First Take, it's fluid. So let's see. They got a good team. They got to just keep plucking away. 2-2, right? You win this game, you beat the Dolphins, you pull even with the Dolphins. Your record is what it say it is at the end of the day.
Bill Parcells.
You are what your record
says
you are.
You are what your record says you are, right? I think this is a staple game. Obviously, a lot of people are going to focus in on the offense, which Zach Wilson, I mean, look, I think there's a lot of promise there and a lot of pieces on the offensive side of the ball. But I think this is a Robert Saleh staple, because what do the Dolphins have, man? They have two speedsters when you think about Waddle and Hill. So I think that secondary is going to be challenged. And we've had conversations about Teddy Bridgewater, about, look, like the skill set. One of the reasons why Mike McDaniel liked him was due to the fact that his skill set mirrored Tua to a degree. So how Teddy utilizes those outside weapons, it will really depend upon how they are guarded and what that secondary looks like for Robert Saleh.
I know what you mean about how the skill, how they're similar in certain ways, Bridgewater and Tua. But Tua's had all the reps recently. Tua's the one who's so like, he, even when you tell me, oh, it's the same thing, more or less. I knew you were going to say that about these two guys.
No, you didn't know what I was going to say.
I knew you were going to say that.
You don't know that. You're just talking now, Max. You're just making things up.
In fact, I believe I said earlier in the show, I know what you're going to tell me, so we can go back and listen. But the point is, like, it's one guy is getting the reps, the other guy isn't, and one guy's young and getting better. So I feel like for Teddy Bridgewater just to step in and pick up where Tua left off is a little different, even if it's under other circumstances.
Against Cincinnati, came into the game, he was 14 of 23 for like 200 yards and a touchdown. He came into the game in relief.
Yep.
That's Teddy Bridgewater. He's also been a starter in this league, Max. He has guided a team to the playoffs.
Yep.
He's been a starter. So it's not as if you're bringing in Zeppi, Mr. Z from the New England Patriots.
Yeah,
this is a different situation. The Miami Dolphins just didn't bring Teddy Bridgewater in to be a backup. They brought him in to put pressure on Tua early on. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they decided they were going to go with Tua. And now they say, okay, if anything would have happened to Tua, we got a guy that we feel good about. So at the end of training camp, they felt like, okay, one guy is 1A, one guy is 1B. But we're going to go with Tua because he's been here. We need to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm telling you what I know that came out of Miami. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so in the end, I'm not saying that he's better than Tua or anything like that. All I'm saying is you're going to get the same thing. You're going to get methodically moving the football down the field. You're going to get the dink and dunk into Waddle in Hill's hands and let them do their job. That's what you're going to get.
You also get like those short bubble routes, man, where those guys eat up so much yardage after the catch, like the yak, right?
I love it. Yep.
You, say, you don't have to have a cannon.
You're talking to scouts, man. You talk to
scouts. No, you say bubble routes. I just love it, though. Like, listen to Jay.
Yeah, man. Talk about bubble routes. I'm around you. I talk to you all day. So, like, that, I mean, to me, like, yak for those guys, like that's what their specialty is too. So
you don't need a cannon for an arm to throw for a lot of yards.
I talk about this, and it comes more to light the more I watch certain quarterbacks. Key, you talk about it with Cooper Rush and the playbook, right? How do you simplify it, man?
Yeah, bring it down.
He has the football IQ with the experience where he doesn't need to have that. He doesn't need to thread the needle or throw that crazy explosive play. Keep it simple.
But we're focusing on the Dolphins side. From the Jets side, the Jets are feeling good about themselves right now. They have their quarterback back. They have, as Damian mentioned and Key mentioned, they've been drafting. They seem to have a good draft to me, right? They have some playmakers now.
I need to hone in on Sauce Gardner though, because I ain't really seen nothing. I need to hone in on him. I need to because you're getting ready to, right now. You ain't playing against UCF. You're getting ready to see some speed, like some serious pick 'em up and go.
Yeah.
So I really need to focus in on Sauce Gardner.
No one has more explosive speed guys who can also play the position than Miami right now, I don't think.
Yeah, usually speed dudes can't play football.
Right.
They can just run.
They're special teams guys, right? But
they can play, but they can't catch. Let me say that.
Right. Mm.
Speed dudes usually, they out there dropping Bentleys and Lamborghinis left and right.
But these dudes are running like Lamborghinis. Meantime, we have more to do still, guys. Jordan Addison and USC.
Fight on.
Is he the best USC wide receiver since?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So Rob Manfred was talking about the home run record.
Barry Bonds. He was talking about Aaron Judge. He was talking about it all, Max.
And this is his response to me. He says people who say 62 is the real record. I don't know who's saying it louder than me. Listen to this. He was on Get Up this morning, Major League Baseball commissioner.
Well, the record books say what they say. I think that over the history of the game, there have been different eras. The ball performed differently. The equipment was different. And I think the best way to handle it is let fans make their own judgment as to what records are most significant to them.
So I think that's a diplomatic way to put it. I don't think it's irresponsible or anything like that. I thought the commissioner handled that well. This is for people who seem to, like, I really have, you know, when I go, oh, no, wait a minute, Key. When I do that is when I see a logical, something incongruous logically. When the logic doesn't hold up in someone's argument, I go, oh, wait, let's stop right there. And a lot of these arguments for Bonds and McGuire and Sosa don't hold up logically in that. Oh, are you saying that no one can ever get better? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I don't need a receipt from Balco or an admission or a videotape to evidence to know that at the age of 37, you are not going to cut your home run to at-bat ratio in half and also get twice as good as you've ever been. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, without help, unless they're, especially when there are no external changes in the circumstance.
I think that I'm more with you in terms of what you just said, but I also think because a guy like Barry Bonds was always great and good. He was always great and good.
One of the best ever. Before
his
the juice.
Alleged PED use, and I say alleged because he was not, you know.
He didn't admit it, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't admit it or anything like that. He was already good, already a Hall of Famer, and he did what he did, allegedly, to catch the other guys because he didn't want them to show him up.
They were making it unfair. He was trying to make it fair again. I agree.
He was hitting 40 a year, whatever the case was, all, you know, and they would all of a sudden jump from 25, 30, 35 to 70. Mm-hmm. So he said, okay, well, give me some of what y'all may have, you know? And so I think his record at 73 for me is the record. I appreciate that, but I also appreciate the 62 by Judge.
I think that's what it is for me, Key. I appreciate both.
Yeah.
You don't.
I mean,
Max.
I appreciate Bonds' greatness, but I don't respect the record. That's the difference.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I mean, I used to watch the Adam West Batman. When someone comes out with the pink smoke, that means everyone's about to pass out and he's about to steal all their watches. That's like the Joker or the Riddler or something.
Key, I can't help myself. I'm pulling a Max Kellerman on this one. But you know, when you watch the video, though, one of those people in those yellow jackets wearing security had a knee brace on.
Man, leave the people alone.
Had a knee brace. Key.
Peep the you dive, didn't say that though, when you didn't say nothing about that when they was walking you, yo. Fancy ass
helicopter.
Car in Chicago after the game. You didn't say nothing. You was
because you know the security eye around me. They deterred you. That's the security around me. They deterred you. You thought twice, three, four times about doing anything like that. That's what I'm saying.
So what we're responding to the video is there was a guy trying to make a stance about animal rights, and he had a shirt on at the on the game and on the what game was this? Hold on, what this is
49ers, San Francisco Rams.
Niners Rams, and he's running down the sideline, and there's pink smoke billowing out of something he's holding, and Bobby Wagner and someone else on the sideline, they didn't tackle him, they didn't hurt him, they didn't do anything malicious or try to rough the passer.
He put his shoulder in his chest.
No,
Max.
No, they what
Max,
they did
he put
was
his shoulder in his chest.
Jay, they tried to get him to the ground. That's all.
Yeah, no, they did extra. That, but it's not their job to do that. First of all, the dude is smoking. So if he's smoking, why would you run out there? You're not Max. You're not running out there when you see somebody smoking.
No,
you're not doing
you,
that.
Man,
we don't know what that smoke is.
You wake up from that smoke. They found out the secret location of the Batcave. You know, like, I don't mess with that smoke.
Mess around and have some serious illness messing around over there with that smoke.
Right.
Speaking of California, though, we do have some weird stuff at times going on in California, but we also have some exciting college football
like Jordan
in California.
Addison. Jordan Addison, the wide receiver. Listen to what Mel Kiper Jr., who was just on this show moments ago, said about Jordan Addison.
I think he's going to be a top 5 to 10 pick, maybe top 4 to 6 pick possibly. You're looking at a kid who at Pitt had, 100 catches for Kenny Pickett? He helped Kenny Pickett be that pick that he was in the first round. He averaged, 16 yards a catch with 17 touchdowns. Look what he's doing at USC this year through 5 games. He's doing it at 2 programs. Now he's had Kenny Pickett. He's got Caleb Williams. Yeah, you go from Pitt where he had Mark Whipple coordinating that offense, and now he's got Lincoln Riley. So he's been in 2 systems that were favorable for the quarterback and the receiver, but his skill set, the production, the consistency. And the other receivers, guys, have not really lit up. Jackson Smith and Jigbo, Ohio State's been banged up. Kayshon Booty has been struggling. So a lot of the receivers that you thought were going to be super productive this year and lighten it up have not. He's been the one star that has been dynamic in the early going.
You know, the interesting thing about Jordan Addison is he's fast, he's quick. He's a lot of the Devontae Smith stuff in him, but I think he has some little more grit. He has that D.C. Maryland, you know what I'm saying, Jay, that grit to him, that toughness. And when I look at receivers, especially at USC, and we've had a list of them, I mean all the way from Lynn Swan all the way to this kid right now and Jordan Addison, he, in my opinion, and it's not about me or whatever, but I was pretty damn good in college. He's probably the best pro prospect to come out of USC since me. And we've had guys go. We've had, you know, Mike Williams and Dwayne Jarrett and Robert Woods and Marquise Lee. You know, we had Kerry Colbert. I mean, we had a bunch of guys. But he, you know, when Mel started talking about the top 5, that tells you something about his ability.
What do you think, Key? Is he the best SC receiver since? Give me a name. Since?
Keyshawn.
Since Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's the best. And like I said, Drake London and those guys,
there's
guys that went in the first round, but he's different. He's Devontae Smith. He's Marvin Harrison. Those guys are different. They can pick him up and put him down. He's not as big as me. He won't go up. He got long arms, so he can still reach and do some things, but he's not going to be asked to go and block a linebacker.
Yeah.
He's not going to be asked to do some of the things that I was asked to do. And he can run.
Key.
He got wheels.
If we could flip around how the draft actually works. You know, obviously, there are 32 teams. Those teams select the individual talent. That talent goes to play for the team. But if you can flip it, if you're Jordan Addison coming into the draft, and you could choose which lower portion or team at the bottom bucket of the barrel that you want to play for, that you think you have the most upside, if you were in that position, Key, what team would you choose coming into the 2023-2024 season?
And it doesn't mean what they're drafting. I just pick an NFL team.
I mean, like, say, like, one of the lower tier teams, right? That aren't not playing well. You're trying to pick lower tier. Like, obviously, like a Jacksonville. Like, I'd like to go play with the Trevor Lawrence or a team like that.
Yeah, but the problem is they got Christian Kirk already. So they got a guy that can take the top off. See, if I was him, I'm going to Kansas City.
Obviously. But Kansas City is going to have a draft pick that high. Cause
I know. I'm just thinking the lower.
Like, what's the best upside on the lower
tier team?
What
you just said about he already have a guy who could do what he does?
I would take a look at the Texans.
Okay.
I ain't fooling with the Commanders.
Mm.
The Giants, because I think they're going to be at the bottom of the barrel.
Yes.
I'd really look at the Giants big time because it's New York.
Good.
He's from the East Coast. His personality, he played in the cold already at Pitt. He, like I said, he's from the East Coast, so he knows what that is. They need this type of dynamic playmaker. The New York Jets got one in Garrett Wilson. And I think this kid is better than Garrett Wilson. Wait, man, what was that y'all just showed on the screen? What was that y'all?
You in some huge pads, cuz.
Yeah, they put you in some, yeah.
Ooh, look at them numbers in 2 years. Not bad.
And
not
the crop top? Shabby.
Yeah, crop. That's when I had, come on, James. Now I got a stomach like you, but hey, before I had a washboard.
That's unnecessary.
Well, you the one brought
Jim,
the crop top up. You brought it up.
See,
yeah,
asked you asked for it.
James.
See?
Hey, I want to get back to something you said about they already have a guy in Christian Kirk, right? And I agree. I think Giants would be a great fit. As a Giants fan, I'd love to see it. But you were sort of saying the same thing about Miami when they went and signed or traded for and signed
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, because they already had a guy like that. But it is possible. And, Jay, I think, you know, there are teams like this in the NBA, too, where you have two guys and it seems redundant. But, in fact, it becomes a problem for opposing defenses because they got two guys who can do that, right?
Yeah, it so far the early payoff says that has been a little bit of a problem for teams to be able to cover Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Can you keep that up, though? I'm not one that wants the same guys on the same level. I want to, you know, I need one of these.
And well,
most teams in the NFL, they got a DK Metcalf and a Tyler Lockett. They got a Jared Jeudy and a Cortland Sutton.
Part of that is they're finite.
That's an outlier, Max.
Yep, they're finite resources. So with the cap, and so if you got one thing already, why get it again when you have other needs? I get that, but sometimes you have two ball handlers on the same team in the NBA, it can be a problem for the defense, right?
Yeah, but it depends on, look what we talk about with the Lakers, right? We talk about, well, can you have Patrick
Beverly.
Beverly, thanks, Keith. Patrick Beverly and Dennis Schroeder on the court at the same time.
That's the same thing.
It's the same thing, same right? Thing you have to know how to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll be happy. I predicted the future. Jordan Addison goes to the Giants. Oh! They move up in the draft. And they draft him, and they go get some quarterback in free agency. That's just
Jordan Addison and Lamar Jackson. There you go. New York Giants. That would be a world in which I could be too happy. I'd be too happy.
And they got a big game this Saturday against Washington State. Then they go to Utah. That's big for us to get into the Final Four. Mm.
So we've covered a lot today. NBA, MLB, NFL.
Absolutely.
Hey, Greeny is coming up next. And, of course, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Eastern.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.